bring in a guy who has really a bizarre resume, and I thought it was interesting enough for him to come into the station. I had said in my little preamble this morning that I was going to try to make the connection between your role as a supervisor at the Navy Phenna Treatment Plant to being a teacher at Estumbo Middle School, and I need to know where that intersected and when. Good morning, Stephen Vold. How are you?
Good morning.
How long have you been on Guam first, by the way?
Almost 2 years now.
Really? That's short of a time. Where'd you come from?
York, Pennsylvania, where they assemble Harley-Davidson motorcycles.
Ah, I see. Now, were you in the military and retired here? How'd that work out?
I was underemployed, and I was looking on the internet. I had two job interviews the same week. One was Augusta, Kansas, so I did that. And then I interviewed with the people in DZSP-21, the contractors for the Navy, at 12 midnight while I'm in my motorhome in a thunderstorm because the house had no power.
Oh, and then you said Guam?
Yes.
Does it have electricity and sunlight?
Yes.
And they said yes, and we have a wastewater treatment plant. So, and that's what you were hired to do? You came to supervise. What was your job?
Originally, I was a supervisor at the Phenol Water Treatment Plant, but because I'm certified at the highest level in both water and wastewater, they had a need down at the wastewater plant.
I see.
And then I always thought of becoming a teacher, and they have a great demand here.
Mm-hmm.
So I left my position, started taking courses at UOG to become a fully certified teacher. I should be there by the end of the year.
Are you kidding me? You left this job that, in this training with the wastewater to go and teach. I don't know which is harder to do. Tell me about waste. Tell me about the treatment of wastewater, waste and wastewater. I mean, what kind of job is that, actually?
Well, it's not something you ever think of aspiring to do when you're in high school.
Sure.
I had a degree in agronomy, which is agricultural science. I wanted to do agricultural research. I graduated in the recession of 82. I had to find something that was recession-proof. And
very smart. I like this. I like this.
And so I had to think, well, water and wastewater treatment, that's always needed.
How bizarre.
And it's expanding.
Yeah.
And a lot of the basic science that you use in agriculture, the biology, the chemistry is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
The soil science.
And this is a job that not a lot of people, they're not clamoring to get to these positions.
It's steady employment.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It would seem to me that they would have tried to hang on to you for a long time, not wanting that you go into the school system with your kind of experience.
I believe my option, and I have taught GWA,
mm-hmm.
but currently school is where I'm going to be right now.
What is the big deal? What's it an expanding industry? Interested, more need? What are you talking about when you say that?
People care about, especially like on an island, like everything water-related, mm-hmm. recreationally. And so. Also, they should keep on getting their type, and so you have to spend more and more money in order to stay up with in compliance with the new regs.
And being in compliance with regs, especially for a government agency like the Guam Water Authority, is really tough to do when you rely on your customer base is the public. And we don't have a whole lot of money, and right? It's expensive.
I have worked for an organization, Waterbury, Connecticut, which is about the same population as the island of Guam. When I took over as superintendent, we had to more than double the sewer because we built a brand new facility. High-tech, state-of-the-art for complete nitrogen removal. On Guam, they're not even trying for that level. They're trying to comply with what federal EPA wants them to comply with, the 1977 Clean Water Act.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came to Guam and found out that they only did primary treatment, I was like, oh my God.
Nobody does that.
Nobody does that. Even before I got in the industry, everybody was at secondary, if not tertiary, treatment.
Right.
But with being on an island and the way they have discharge into the ocean, and, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution, I don't think they're necessarily doing the wrong thing.
EPA thinks so.
I haven't seen the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the public hearing, and nobody produced facts. GWA doesn't have all the data, and the EPA doesn't have all the data. You don't mandate somebody spending
$300 million
without the facts. That's just common sense.
No kidding. So at this public hearing, was there a representative from US EPA?
Yes, but they were just there to listen for public comment and not make comments themselves.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a good thing because they really wouldn't have had anything to produce.
No.
Yeah. I mean, in your assessment of it, they wouldn't have had really much to. So where did this come from? What was the...
Well, if you look at the data, they had violated the Clean Water Act at times.
Mm-hmm.
They've made improvements at GWA since then. Now let's take another look at it before we mandate.
Okay, so you're saying that they're basing this decision on events of sort of hunting GWA years being compliant or upstandard immediately?
Typically, return agencies do not like to disregard.
Okay, absolutely. I mean, they take that stuff very seriously. Seeing like what seem to be minor infractions, the U.S. EPA jumps on them hard.
Every organization has minor infractions.
Right.
That's because nothing's perfect. Electricity
sure.
goes out. People make mistakes. Even on Navy base, mm-hmm. there were some mistakes made.
Mistakes are they costly mistakes, costly to the public? And I mean environmentally costly?
No, not really. It's technical.
Okay. All right. But these are technical
problems. Your data recorder for your pH went down for X number of hours. That's a violation. It was probably in compliance. We just don't have the proof of it.
Oh, okay. All right. So bacteriological standards were broken or anything, and they didn't cause anybody any... major health problems or any of that kind of stuff. We're not talking about stuff like that.
There's always some debate on that.
Oh, great. Thanks. what's that? Fish feel this?
Well, you need to do a whole environmental study.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, they just extended the outfalls of both the Adania and the Northern Treatment Plant. And where's the data that says after a rain that the contamination doesn't come from runoff from the surrounding hills?
Right.
You need to understand... Is it a point source or a non-point source? And then put your money where it makes most sense.
I see. Okay.
And if you've been down Marine Corps Drive and sewage come out of the manholes,
mm-hmm.
that's got to stop too. So,
has GWA must know who you are?
Yeah, they know.
Oh, okay.
I've talked to Dr. Olive. Yeah.
Have you? And is what do you think? How do you think they're moving along?
I think they have good management now. They actually hired some of the DZSP employees, which are top-notch people, because I read one time Pay Navy says that, well, GWA doesn't have the personnel to operate high-tech facilities. And yes, they are high-tech than GWA's facility, more advanced treatment processes, but yeah, they have the people.
What will it take to upgrade the facility other than the $300 million plan currently being considered? Is it all just money? Because GWA, it doesn't seem to me, is going through anything different than most of the communities in America. I don't know if you saw that big documentary they had about the water treatment or the wastewater and the water facilities around the country just falling apart or dilapidated to begin with. And the real danger of communities either going underwater or... flooding profusely from outdated or antiquated systems.
The public has to make a commitment to protect the environment. It's going to cost some money. But do you want your kids wading down a stream that's contaminated? Do you want them to go out in the ocean where it's contaminated? No.
Hard argument. I mean, it's a hard, you know what, because the public is going to take whatever is given to them. The public is going to list every point that's made, and it's always going to be some sort of tactic that's going to, and there is a true fear. Obviously, there's a fear, you know. You don't ever look out screening any of these meetings that are arguing against higher water rates to eventually, develop some revenue to make this, to build the system again.
When we needed to raise rates in Connecticut, I had attendance of over 1,000 people for 2 days.
No kidding.
Screaming about how it was the same type of economic, same type of governmental issues
mm-hmm.
as we have here in Guam. And then bottom line, some people just said, I care about my wallet. Let the fish die.
Oh. Okay, but you don't get that on Guam. I don't know in the past couple of years that you've been watching, every time there has been an increase in they don't talk about it. They don't argue it. They haven't. People don't get up there and start screaming about increased water rates.
They're more polite on Guam than in other parts.
I say so. Which I think it's a great detriment to us because we see what the system has done. We see what it's capable of doing. We've had poor water for a long time. We've had an old system. We know these horror stories about lines that are discovered that no one knew were there, and the only way to fix them would be to keep spending the money to improve the system. And so in our lifetime, who's going to argue that if this is the sort of service that we were used to? I remember turning on the faucet and there'd be brown stuff coming out. anybody who lived through that is not going to argue if their water is clean and pure. And GWA had that huge campaign about drinking water from the tap, which I do, because I trust, because I've been given every reason to believe. Is that true?
I trust the GWA water. I trust the water the Navy produces. And do I buy bottled water? Not in the little bottles. I buy the 5-gallon jug because it's gone, like the local shopping center here mm-hmm. has a treatment system on top of the GWA water that has every kind of technology involved in it. And tastes, you have no chlorine taste.
I see. So it's more the taste is what you're going for, because you don't like drinking the tap water. It doesn't taste good.
It's not bad, but
if you kill it with lemon, it's not so bad either. But you're right. There is a sort of chlorine. I have a friend. I got
to
say,
you have to have a residual.
I have a friend who had a colored towel that was bleached for the amount of chlorine that was in her water from the tap. And I don't know if it was just significant in her area. I've never smelled it as strong as I did then, when that incident took place. Does it? Are there areas that are more highly chlorinated than others?
Not to my knowledge, but obviously chlorine costs money, and people tend not to waste it, so that's usually not an issue. People don't. Governmental agencies don't push the chlorine in the system beyond what's needed.
What about fluoride?
Fluoride's a controversial issue. Do we need it in today's society with the fluoridated toothpaste and the treatment you can get at the dentist? No.
What was the concept behind that? Was it mostly for the economically disadvantaged, having to foot the costs of dental care because they couldn't afford the dental care, and so the government decided to put the fluoride in the water?
That's a reasonable assumption, yeah.
Because I know some people who've got some of the best teeth in this country. Mm-hmm. That came from areas that were more poverty-stricken or more depressed than other areas, and particularly in the large cities.
It does make a difference for dental prevention of dental cavities and stuff.
But you don't think that it's necessary? And we don't do that here, do we?
No. Oh,
okay.
Well, yes, we do.
So. Where?
At the Pheno plant, yeah.
Oh, so the Navy takes care of the teeth up there. Is that what you're saying?
It's not absolutely required and necessary.
Sure. Okay. But okay. So... now that we know this about you, are there any secrets that you're allowed to reveal now that you're no longer at the working for DZSP?
I'm sure the
people over the years have said, what can you tell me about, you know, that you're like intimately knowledgeable about our wastewater and water system, the Navy's wastewater and water system, and how much of an effect does that have on what we're doing outside the fence?
Well, I think there's extra cost involved in producing water through the Navy system. Because you have to, you know, supervisor, I had to write reports upon reports upon reports that you wouldn't have to for just compliance issues. So you maybe have more staff than you would normally need in a fully private functioning facility or even a governmental facility.
Is that operation a well-protected operation from any possibility of the government of Guam one day reclaiming control of FENA?
There is some logic to the concept that we're a small island, and it'd be nice to have a unified system. Because right now, Navy sends water north, they send water south. It doesn't make sense for even pumping issues.
Mm-hmm. And so, is that such a protected operation that the Navy's going to hang on to that commodity?
If I was a Navy, I'd want to hold on to all assets I can to be in control of things. Once you have another organization involved, you lose some control.
And I don't see them giving it up. I mean, I just don't see that they're going to take, especially if they're making money.
I don't think they operate to make money.
Well, they're not making money. I mean, they're not. They're not making money. It's not for a profit, but it is an operation to run itself. Correct.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
And you said it's a top-notch facility, or is it top-notch?
It's as top-notch as any I've worked at. Every place has some bottlenecks and limitations that you have to work around. After every construction project, you need another construction project to fix the little minor things that weren't done right in the first place.
So you think if the Navy had to turn over FENA to the GWA, that we would see a steady decline in its operation?
No.
Because you're saying that the government of Guam is perfectly capable of handling that system.
Yes, provided that they have the purchasing flexibility to get things when they need it.
And that is to maintain the facility, yeah. keep it operating. And you're also talking about personnel, yeah. because it's going to take some top dollar to attract people who know what they're doing.
Well, that was one of the issues. It's probably the same with GWA. You're drawing from the local population. You get a few people from off-island, like myself, and then you draw from the local population, and they don't have the wealth of experience. Mm-hmm. It takes time to learn, and they need a training program to bring people up to the certification level.
Well, it's not sexy either. I mean, working in water is not sexy. I mean, I...
I
don't mean like you're not sexy. I mean the job is not a sexy job. Come on.
I've always been proud of what I've done.
Of course, of course. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not one of those jobs that people are, you know, dying to get to.
No.
Obviously.
When I worked in wastewater, they did call me Stinky Steve.
I was going to say, I mean, dude, come on.
But really, it's not bad. You have nice, clean facilities usually.
Yeah.
You're not.
The working conditions are not that bad.
No.
Yeah. Even if you're.
It beats the heck out of an assembly line job.
Well, that's true. And then considering what you're dealing with, you're not dealing with raw sewage. You're not standing around it and waiting in it and all of that. You're not.
I've had to pay my dues.
I bet you. I would hate that learning curve. I tell you what. What you have to do, the initiation of getting into the business. That could be ugly.
Yes, they always give the nastiest jobs to the newest employees.
The first time, right? What was your nastiest job?
Cleaning out an anaerobic digester with a shovel and a rake and a clamshell bucket.
I described that machine that you're talking about.
Well,
is it?
Basically a crane that comes down
uh-huh.
and takes a glob of material and puts it in a truck.
Nice word. Uh-huh.
And
you had to go in there and clean out that the bucket.
It was not pleasant.
Actually, have you ever seen the show Dirty Jobs with Mike
yes,
Rowe?
Yes, yes.
Is it Mike Rowe?
I think so, yeah.
He is hilarious. I think he had to do that once. They had to clean, he was at a treatment plant, and he had to do something like that. I know exactly what you're talking about. That was some nasty stuff.
But at least my employees can respect me because I know they know I've done the job that they were assigned to do. You know, I wouldn't ask them to do anything.
You didn't argue. Sure, of course.
I didn't go right from college.
And
to the main big office.
All right, safe to say you paid your dues in crap. Nice to know that. Now we're gonna take a break real quick for the news. But when we come back, Stephen Vold is our guest in the studio. He made a jump from wastewater treatment into the classroom, and I find that very curious. And we'll find out what he knows about on the front lines of your kids and the middle school age. How difficult is it to motivate your kid, keep them motivated, and getting them good grades all at the same time?